You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we've got something for everyone. On Wednesday afternoon, we're racing over the obstacles at Wincanton and Carlisle. There's all-weather racing at Wolverhampton and Kempton in the evening. And we've also got an Irish card from Leopardstown as well. So plenty to enjoy on Wednesday. You can hear it all live from 1:40 p.m. on Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair and Ollie Pimlott joins me on today's podcast. How are you all?
Very well. Good to see you again, Sam.
Indeed. How did the pointers run at the weekend?
Quite slowly.
Right. Was that
quite slowly
to be expected?
They were outclassed in the field. It's fair to say.
I'm not talking to the connections of the big point to point classic winner.
No, you're not. No.
Right. Okay.
They were the cowards. They had four winners, and Cherry Coward is the daughter of Mick Easterby.
Right, I was just about to say, are the Easterbys still dominating?
It was held on Mick Easterby's land at Sherryfootton, so right. They kept the winners in-house.
At home, okay. Are the Easterbys still dominating the Yorkshire point-to-point scene?
Yeah, they're still pretty handy, yeah.
Good stuff. We've obviously got a wonderful 3 days to come from Aintree as well, Ollie, the Grand National meeting. In terms of the big race itself, it's becoming a little bit clearer now. What's going to run, the picture is beginning to develop. We had 9 defectors that came out of the race yesterday. The Last Samurai's now moved up to top weight. A few of those horses who were probably questioning whether or not they'd get a run have moved into the top Magic 40. Have you got any thoughts on the big one?
If you could just get me the betting up here, Sam. I'm not sure about Vieux Lion Rouge. He is £6 well in officially.
Yeah.
But he didn't stay in the 4 miler at the festival. Obviously, he finished, I think, 7th in the race last year, but he was treading water.
6th, I think he was last year.
Yeah, but he was treading water in the latter stages, going up and down. Hopefully, for a lot of these, the ground will be slightly better than what we had last season. Obviously, the Friday night team down with rain, and that really did soften the ground and probably paid to the chances of the Last Samurai, who, again, just got wore down in the latter stages. Definitely red. He's another one. He's of course, comes on the back of winning the Grim Thorpe. A very good trial for the race, but I'm not quite sure he stays, and does he jump well enough, because he can take the odd fence with him. I think they might ride him a little bit differently to how they did in the Grim Thorpe, perhaps just hunt him round for a circuit, see if he takes the fences under Danny Cook, and then after they've done a circuit then start to ride a race. So I think they'll ride him to stay, definitely red. One for Arthur. I see his jockey today has said, you know, he's slow, he's a bit one pace, but don't write him off. That's Derek Fox, who himself has made a great recovery from a pretty bad injury, and he's back within a month. He's hoping to ride on Friday over the national fences to give him a bit of a warm-up. I just think he just lacks a bit of class to win this race. He won the Classic Chase at Warwick, but that was in knee-deep, heavy ground, Sam. It'll be very different, I think, at Aintree at the weekend. Unless it's a very heavy ground national, I think I can't see him being in the places. I just think he'll get outpaced. But he has come out of he's placed, obviously, over these fences back in December, where he's staying on 5th. But yet again, he was outpaced. He's just a slow horse, and he's not ridden close to the pace either. So if you're backing this horse, you know, you'll be tearing up your slip probably at halfway, because he'll be so far behind, and he's just going to stay and stay and stay. I'm not sure he's quite got the class. Black Lion, again, I worry whether this horse stays. Go back to the Hennessy. Turning in, he was the last horse on the bridle. Mm. He was swinging. And in the end, Native Rivers completely outstayed him. Does he stay? Cause of causes, we know he stays. Comes on the back of a festival win. How well handicapped is he? I'm not so sure. More of that. Best horse in the race, arguably.
Yeah.
World hurdle winner. He's the only horse to beat Annie Power when she stayed on her feet most recently. But he's had bleeding issues and he's got wind issues. Over 4.5 mile and over 30-odd fences. Sam, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
But he is the classiest horse in the race. Then we come to last year's second, the Last Samurai, but he's got top weight this year. 11 stone 10. Pleasant Company is not quite for me, and so I'm left with Saphir Dereux, And the more I look at this horse, the more I'm warming to his chances.
Okay.
Obviously, he runs in the big bucks colours. So I think he's been overrated. Sort of more's been expected for him than he's delivered throughout his career.
Because of the connections.
Because of the connections. And because they've always rated him quite highly. But look at his Gold Cup run. What an incredible race he ran in the Gold Cup. He is very much in and out. But I think he's probably the most talented horse in the field. And he has less question marks than the other probably most talented horse. More of that, because we know he's got breathing issues. We know he's got well-being issues. We know he bleeds. So that's not ideal over this trip. I think you'll know where you stand with The Last Samurai after the first three or four fences, because he either runs a great race or a bad race.
Yeah.
And equally, he'll either take to these big fences or he'll throw the towel in. But at 20-1, one of the classiest horses in the race, I'm willing to take a chance and could well put the trainer's title in Paul Nicholls' hands away from Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, absolutely. He runs Safidura and Vicente, and the trainer's title obviously means a great deal to Paul Nicholls. He'll be desperate to run it down, and as you mentioned, this race could be the key turning point.
Yeah, I think about £600,000-ish to connections. So, yeah, I think if either Nicky Henderson or Paul Nicholls has the national winner, that's going to decide it.
Definitely. Do you think it's a classier race now than it has been in the past, the national?
A lot classier race, because, you know, in the past you could probably put it down to four or five horses, whereas because the weights are so compressed, you got a lot better horses in here. Previous national winners wouldn't even get in the race nowadays, so it's a lot classier race, and therefore probably makes it a harder race to find the winner of.
Yeah. Is that a better thing, or do we get a lot of horses with a very similar profile lining up?
Well, surely you want competitiveness. The beauty of the Grand National is, the old cliche, it's a lottery.
Yeah.
Anything can win it. And I think that's why it lends itself to the public, because it's wide open. It's sport, and in sport, it's more interesting when you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. In terms of the rest of the week, then, it's three wonderful days of racing, not just the Grand National. We've got the Melling Chase. We've got running money back on the Bowl, and also the Aintree Hurdle this week. Anything you're particularly looking forward to?
Best bet of the week actually comes in the Melling.
Yeah.
In the form of God's Own.
Okay.
Loves this time of year. I'm still of the opinion, because I backed him, Sam, that he would have won the Queen Mother Champion Chase had he not...
I backed him in that
had
as well,
he not but... taken the second last fence with him completely.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he left all four legs in it, and he went from going particularly strongly, struggling the strongest in the race, to basically stopping him.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was just run out of the places. But that knocked the stuffing out of him, the mistake at the second last. Of course, the Punchestown Festival winner last year. Yeah. He's won at this meeting in the past, and... You know, the fact Fox Norton's favourite, we've got Sub-Lieutenant, who's Zizondra, has question marks. Bristol Demai, is the ground going to be a bit lively for him?
Yeah.
I think he prefers to get his toe in. That helps his jumping. Josser's Hill has obviously won at this meeting in the past over hurdles, but he was a disappointment when we last saw him, and obviously his jumping can come a cropper at times as well. So God's Own, I think, is the most solid one. For me, he should be favourite, Sam.
Yeah.
And I think we can get our money back from the Cheltenham Festival on him in the Melling Chase.
Hopefully so. Beat Vitor, of course, at this meeting last year, albeit Vitor fell on that occasion, but then he beat him fair and square.
Yeah, fair and square
at Punchestown.
At Punchestown. This is his time of year. Yeah. Got great record in April, May time, and I think he was coming to win his race when he made a shuddering fault at the penultimate flight in the Queen Mother. So God's Own for me in the Melling Chase, a strong selection at 5-2. The Bowl, we don't really know who's going to turn up in that yet. Q Card 6-4, but for me, Q Card was well beat when he fell.
Yeah.
At Cheltenham this year.
In stark contrast
to the one year before where he fell, but he was full of running. He was going backwards. Is he quite as good as he was this time last year? I would probably say not. It doesn't look the strongest of races on paper. Sylvain Jarco-Conti was probably flattered by his proximity to the winner of the King George. He just ran on at the end. I think Smad Place can give you a run for money if he turns up. 14-1, the galloping grey. Doesn't look to be much. I don't know. It's going to be interesting how they ride Bristol Demai. Will they hold him up, or will they jump him out?
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know who's going to turn up here either. But at the prices, Empire of Dirt was a progressive handicapper going places. Obviously, he's got his blotters on his copybook for his run in the Ryanair. Mm. But rule that out, he will become here as favourite. And I think he's the least exposed horse in the field. I think he can prove that Ryanair run all wrong. And around about 5-2, I like the look of him in the Betfair Bowl.
Okay, and can anything touch Bouvardet in the Aintree Hurdle now that Yanworth is going to go for the staying event, it looks like, and they're going to keep Apples Jade fresh for the Irish trainer's title for Gordon Elliott to have a winner over there?
I mean, it looks a bit of a penalty kick, Sam, doesn't it? But again, this is what grates on me. People have been talking about and begging for... There's no races for these 2.5 mile hurdlers.
It is what, yeah.
Here's a 2.5 mile grade one hurdle, Sam. 6 runners.
Yeah.
You know, people are crying out for Cheltenham to put on a 2.5 mile grade one hurdle. There's one at Aintree. 6 runners.
Mm.
So I don't think there's a need for that. Bouvardaire, if he runs up to how he did at Aintree, at Cheltenham, he's going to win, isn't he? Hands in his chest. Because the new one, we all know he's a very good horse, but he's not quite at the top level. And the same probably applies to My Tent or Yours and Identity Thief.
Yeah.
It does look pretty much a penalty kick, you'd have thought, for Bouvardaire.
Certainly looked a better race when Yanworth and Apple's Jade were maybe going to go and take Bouvardaire.
I mean, Apple's Jade, you know, was your mug each way bet because
definitely
it was hard to see her out the front two at fours. But obviously she doesn't go. It now looks pretty much a one-horse race. So as long as he's not bombed out after Cheltenham, it's not took too much out of him, he should win this pretty comfortably.
Definitely. Let's try and top up the funds for the Aintree Grand National Festival then by looking ahead to 4 races on Wednesday. We've got 4 races from 4 different venues, a variety of disciplines going here as well. We start at Wincanton with their 220 race, which is a 2.5 mile handicap chase, a Class 3 event, which has attracted just the 6 runners. And a real different look to some of these horses. Some had a pretty decent spin last time out, and a few of these failed to complete. There's a difference in profiles, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, the two who are progressive, well, arguably progressive at this level, is Dance Floor King. He's gone up a pound, finishing runner-up over this trip at Sandown last month. And Lou Vert was an outpaced second. That was over 2 mile 2 at Taunton. Steps up to 2 mile 4 furlongs and 35 yards here. So they're probably the progressive two. Need to talk about Maccabee Creek as well. We've not seen him on the track for 139 days. We last saw him finishing 7th. At Market Raisin. But the one I'm going to go for is probably the one going the other way in a handicap, and that's Come On Ginger.
Okay.
It's £12 below his last winning mark, but he comes from a yard in Chris Gordon, who can do no wrong at the minute. They are flying in winners left, right and centre. He's very well handicapped on old form, and probably the horses who are going up in the handicap, I'm not sure how much leeway they have with their mark, Sam, because, you know, we've talked about it. Dance Floor King's gone up a pound. Lou Vert has gone up again for his staying on second last time. Whereas Come On Ginger admittedly looks regressive, but the handicap has given it a chance. He's £12 below his last winning mark, coming from a stable who's flying at the minute. I'm willing to take a chance on him, and he should be a big price.
Okay, Ollie's thoughts then in the 220 at Wincanton, that 2.5 mile handicap chase. We get a Carlisle then 10 minutes later for the 230, which is another handicap chase over 2.5 miles. This time it's the novices in action, and 12 of them go to post. What caught the eye here, Ollie?
This was an interesting race, Sam. I thought it was between the front two in the betting here. Both last time out winners, Dr. Glass and Akil Road Boy. I'm just going to go with the latter there, Akil Road Boy. He won in good style at Hexham last time we saw him. And quite surprisingly, the handicap has only raised him a pound for that win. He beat a Mickey Hammond horse who was a winner prior to that at Wetherby. So the form of that has stacked up because, the horse that was second behind him had won at Wetherby on its previous start. So the form definitely stacks up with that one. And Dr. Glass, on the other hand, you know, Acker Road Boy has only been punished a pound for his win last time at Hexham. Dr. Glass has gone up £3. I think that looks quite harsh for his Wetherby triumph. It was a hurdles win at Wetherby, obviously, 2 weeks ago. Reverts back to chasing here, but of the front two in the market, you can play them on the match bets as well on the William Hill website. There'll probably be around about 3-1 joints here, I would have thought. Perhaps Dr. Glass just edging it, but I'm very keen here on Akil Road Boy. Excellent claimer. Sam Coulthard rides for his dad, and I think he can back up that Hexham success being only a pound higher.
Okay, Akil Road Boy gets the nod for Ollie then at Carlisle. We go across the Irish Sea now to Leopardstown's feature race of the day. This is the 5 o'clock, the listed Heritage Stakes upcoming over a mile at €26,500 on offer to the winner. We've got 8 runners who line up at the time of recording. Anything standing out here, Ollie?
This is another interesting race, Sam, because you've got half the field who've had a recent run at the first meeting of the season, and half the field who we've not seen since last season, likes of Round 2, Rose de Pierre and Stroyfen. They've all had well over 150 days off the track, so we've not seen them since last season. Good to have some good flat listed action back, Sam. Can't wait for the flat season after just having our appetite whetted at the weekend. The fact we've got to wait for another week or so for the next turf meeting is a bit of a...
Just conversely as well, I do like these twilight meetings in Ireland. And yeah. I'm surprised that we don't do any
top class racing at 5 o'clock in the evening here. I think the only meeting we have is Sandown.
Yeah. But I do like these cars that sort of run from half three to half six.
And you should get more people in running at this time.
Yeah.
Good, of course, for the betting shop turnover as well.
Yeah.
But dare I say it, it's hard to look past the probable favourite, Rose de Pierre. We know Smullen and Weld have kept going on the all weather this season nicely. This filly by Dubawi was a triple winner last season. That was at the distance as well. She's bound to be fit and ready to go because this is a little bit of cheap black type on offer. It's not the strongest of listed races. There's over €26,000 on offer in form yard. She's bound to be fit to go. And, you know, at the age of four, she's by Dubawi. You generally progress from three to four. She could still have a little bit more progression in her. She's got a mark of 102 and yet gets weight off a couple of these as well. She's officially £4 worse off than One Night is Dreamed, and £5 with Struthen on the official ratings, but gets a couple of pound off them because she's a four-year-old. But for me, Sam, she's going to come here fit, inform stable. Doesn't look the strongest of listed racing. I think they can pick up a bit of cheap black type. So Rose de Pierre for me.
Rose de Pierre then for Dermot Weld, and Pat Smullen gets the nod in the feature at Leopardstown. The final race then is back on UK shores at Kempton. It is the 8:15, which is a mile and a half handicap, a class four event on the poly track. Just seven go to post here, Ollie, which makes it a little bit more difficult. But in Jacob Katz, we've got a horse who carries a £6 penalty, but looks to have a really strong chance here.
William Knight had a terrific day at Kempton. Obviously, Jacob Katz won. He had another horse just pipped on the line when I thought it was going to hang on. Sylvester D'Souza takes the ride again. Obviously, it's got a run with a penalty here, but from a massively informed yard, that of William Knight, Sylvester back on board. This looks an easier assignment than the race it took in on Saturday. I think as long as it doesn't bomb out, they've not turned it out too quickly. Obviously, they've got to turn it out under the penalty because of its manner of its 2.25 win on the weekend. As long as that's not taking its toll, this is the nap of the day, Sam. Inform yard, Sylvester on, was very impressive on Saturday. The only slight worry is, does this race come too soon? But on paper, this looks a slightly lesser race than the one it contested on Saturday. The interesting runner here is Sergeant Reckless. Mm. Only had the two starts on the flat, obviously. Formerly and still is a real decent jumps horse, formerly with Mick Shannon. I think he's rated 130 over jumps now. He's been as high as 148 or 147 in the past, and usually would have seen him turn him up at the Aintree meeting. Mm. I think he's finished second in the big novice race. Second or third, I think, behind the likes of Forheen there. So, you know, formerly a very good horse, not as good as he quite was. And he's probably a watching brief. He's only had one run for the yard. That was at Worcester over hurdles, and he was disappointing back in September. Had 205 days off the track. Probably one just to watch, because he is he's very well handicapped over jumps now on his previous form. This might just be a pipe opener onto something back over the jumps with a bit of spring and summer ground. So Sergeant Reckless, one to note. I don't think he'll win because Jacob Katz is the nap. That goes in the 8:15 at Kempton.
Okay, strong vote then for Jacob Katz from Ollie. Remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio Tier Action from all five meetings from 1:40 p.m. on Wednesday. Wincanton, Carlisle, Wolverhampton and Kempton domestically, and Leopardstown over the Irish Sea. Gary Capewell, John Babb and Chris Pimlott will be in the studio for all of that. Thank you very much, Ollie. Enjoy the action and best of luck.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.